Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mom of the Hard Kid. Today's episode was a really hard one for me to put together. Every time I would sit down to research, every time I would try to find out information, I would freak out in a sense. I would get sweaty, my heart would start pounding. This was a very surprisingly difficult thing for me to research. And what we're going to talk about today is Natalia Grace Barnett. Now, she is a Ukrainian-born American who was adopted in 2010 by an American family. 2 years after she is adopted, the family goes to the court system to change her birth year from 2003 to 1989. Then they put her in an apartment, and then they eventually leave the country and leave her in an apartment. So at this time, several years later, it is well known that she was indeed 9 years old when her adoptive parents abandoned her and put her in the apartment. Now, I've been wanting to address this for a long time because as a mom of a child who has reactive attachment disorder, I just thought, you know what? I've got a take here. Like, I've got an angle here that maybe other people don't understand. And I'm just going to touch on a few things. This is surprisingly difficult for me to deal with and to touch on, but I'm going to do my best and hopefully it all comes together. So one of the things that stuck out to me first when I'm watching the various interviews that they have, and the first interviews that they do, it's with the adoptive parents, and they are explaining why they had Natalia put into an apartment and change her age. And then there's another interview where the dad is just talking and he's explaining the things that Natalia used to say and used to do. And then there's another interview where she's with her new quote unquote parents and they are talking about just how terrible the adoptive parents are and how stupid they are and all of those things. And then there is a fourth video that really just stuck out to me, where Natalia is talking to the original adopted father, and he is crushed and crying, and I'm going to talk a little bit about her reaction to this. So first off, I have to legally say, these are all just my opinions. I don't know Natalia Grace. I don't know any of that stuff. This is just what it looks like to me coming from as a mom of a child with reactive attachment disorder. Now, for those of you who might not be aware of what reactive attachment disorder is, it is a diagnosis that comes when children who've been neglected don't make proper connections with their adoptive family or with their foster family or things like that. They don't make proper connections. They sort of resent everybody, and it truly comes out in a very psychotic way often. So here we have Natalia Grace, and when she is born, it is 2003, and she is adopted in 2010. Well, one of the interviews where they talked to the mother, she said they were given 24 hours. They say, here's this girl, she has dwarfism, she's from Ukraine, she needs a family, and they said you have 24 hours to decide. Now, I want to talk to you about this because when it comes to any kind of foster placement, you have 20 minutes to decide. And I remember when I would get my calls and they're like, hey, do you want this placement? I would say, I have to call my husband and then I will call you back. And that was very unusual because most of the time, I guess, people were just like, sure, absolutely, or no, we can't right now. And so they were given a short amount of time to decide if they wanted to adopt this girl. So they go out to get her. And the day, from what I gather from the interviews, the day they bring her back, and I think they're in an apartment, I mean, not an apartment, a hotel, because I think they had to fly out to go get her. the mom is giving her a bath, and at this time, she is supposed to be 6 years old. Now, when you look at the actual years, she could be six, she could be seven, but she is around that age. And the mom finds some more developed hair on different parts of the body and a suggestion of menstruation. Okay. I wish that this mom had known that it's not terribly uncommon for six-year-olds to have this. It's not something we think about, but I remember when I was in health class in high school so many years ago, and they would talk about how this could happen, that this is not a terribly abnormal thing for children who are very young to go through, especially when you consider stressful environments or different genetics things. Like, I don't know if dwarfism increases this, but the fact that you have other things going on in your body can very much impact your hormones. So she finds this and she's confused, but they still adopt her. And as the interviews go on and I piece them from the different places, it turns out that they are experiencing a lot of things from Natalia Grace. So what they say, and I just have my notes here that I took during one of the interviews from, I believe it's Dr. Phil. And they say that she was terrorizing them, that she would put thumbtacks places where they'd step on it, that she would put a knife in her hand and watch them sleep, that she tried to poison the mom, that she tried to push the mom into an electric fence, and that she tried to put cleaner in her coffee. So what I want to tell anybody out there is that this is a very common set of behaviors for children who have reactive attachment disorder. If you live with a child who has severe reactive attachment disorder, I can tell you a variation of all of these things have happened in my house. And my daughter was not 6 years old. She was 3 years old, 4 years old, and all of these things. And the mom would say that she would threaten, Natalia would threaten to kill people in their house. I want to tell you, as a mom of someone who has reactive attachment disorder, this is everyday behavior. So when you're seeing all those people who are like, oh, it's impossible, it's impossible, it's not impossible. And one of the things I have in my notes, and I wish I'd been more clear about which interview I got these notes from, but it does say Dr. Phil by it, so that's probably where it is. It said that she'd been with over 30 families before they called this family and asked them to take her. So if you are a child and you have been passed around, it doesn't even matter if it's one change, two changes, three changes. That is incredibly damaging to a child's psyche. So my daughter, she had been passed around, I believe, to five different families in her first year of life. And that was incredibly difficult because as soon as you start making any kind of attachment, if that was even possible in the first place, that's broken and it changes. And to think, if this is an accurate number, that she had been to 30 different families, I am positively astonished that there are not experts out there saying, when you have been in this many families in that short of a time, these kind of behaviors are very, very common behaviors. So moving on, you guys, I have these notes off to the side that it's like, I'm so triggered. I can't watch this. Like, I have these notes all around the side, because if you have a child who has reactive attachment disorder and you watch Natalia's face, those facial expressions are facial expressions that show up in your house all the time. So other people might say, oh, it means this, it means that. I don't know what it means. I just know in my house, it means kind of a super selfish, psychotic view of things. That's one of the reasons I had such a hard time watching this, is I could see myself in the parents, in the sense that the dad is doing this interview and he has this desperation in his voice. And I know that desperation because I have used that desperate voice, and he is just wanting people to believe him. And in my notes, I have like this picture that I drew really terribly of his eyes. And it says, I know those eyes. I had those eyes. Those eyes where you're just hoping someone understands you. And yet every single person who is watching this from the outside is thinking, oh, what horrible parents, what terrible people. I can't believe they did this. What horrible people. So moving on, though, in 2013, after they have gotten Natalia Grace an apartment already, and apparently... There is a part where Natalia says that her mother started propositioning men for her so that she could. Oh, I'm sorry, that was not correct. But as time goes on, and for so many of us who are so astonished at our child's behavior, nobody believes it. Everybody looks at those wide eyes and that desperation and thinks that you're crazy, which in a sense, you kind of are crazy. But nobody really takes that extra step and says, why are these parents so crazy? Why do they feel so burnt out when they weren't burnt out people before? And if you think about Christine as a mom of someone who has reactive attachment disorder, she was a go-getter. She started organizations for her autistic son. She put her kids, her three sons, in a bunch of activities. She was fighting for those kids to do tons of things and make their life better. She was a really go-get kind of a lady. And then all of a sudden, she adopts this little girl, and she changes from being that person to being somebody who is burnt out, who's yelling, who's falling apart inside, and who becomes desperate. And nobody likes anybody who's desperate. So she sort of changes into this different person. Now, I think from the outside, people are like, well, you must be a terrible mom. And they don't tend to think, oh, this must just be a terrible fit. Because a lot of people think, oh, if you just give enough love, these kids will be fine. They'll attach to you. They'll think that you're a wonderful mom. They'll say wonderful things. But the truth is, sometimes it is a terrible fit. And sometimes it's just because you have totally different personalities from one another, I imagine. But other times it's because they have severe mental illness from being shuffled around so much in their tiny little lives. Now, when I look at Natalia and I think of my own daughter, I think, I know it is not my daughter's fault that someone shuffled her around so much when she was little. But that doesn't change the fact that her behaviors are her behaviors anyway. So people are like, oh, you should be understanding. And I think I am. But if I was to wake up at night and have my daughter standing there with a knife, which my daughter has not had a knife when she has stood over me while I'm sleeping, but we have had other things in her hands and I've caught her doing other things. She likes to choke. Like when you see these other behaviors, and you have a child who has a very severe mental illness because of very understandable circumstances, it's very frustrating when you are blamed for all of those problems. I know that I didn't drink alcohol when I was pregnant with my daughter. I didn't do drugs while I was pregnant with my daughter. I didn't leave her in her bedroom for 16 hours in a row and never answer to her cries to a point where she quit crying. I didn't ignore her. I didn't do those things. That was somebody else. But all of the behaviors that come because those things did indeed happen to her, they can have very, very serious consequences. And I want to talk about, too, how Christine got Natalia's age change. And I wanted to talk to you about how what that looks like from this side and how when she did that, let me just explain and see if it comes together. So my daughter currently is 6 years old, which is the age that Natalia was when they adopted her. My daughter does her own hair. She changes her own clothes. She does her own chores. She does so many things because it is built into her to be very independent. A lot of kids, you know, you talk about how, oh, you baby these kids too much, so they don't know how to do stuff. These neglected children are not hardwired to have someone else do things for them. Now, my adorable daughter, who is so cute, her hair looks like it was done by a 6-year-old, but she still does her own hair. And actually, sometimes it's super cute. And she picks out really adorable outfits most of the time. most of the time. Some of the time. But she's incredibly independent. She will be my one who I don't have to tell to brush her teeth. She'll just brush her teeth because I don't know, because there's other stuff I cannot get her to do, but this is the stuff that she'll do. And she is very independent to the point that it's a problem. So she is like, oh, I want this. So she'll just go do it, or she'll go take it, or she'll whatever. There have been times when I come downstairs and she's gotten everything out from the fridge and she has cooked herself something in the microwave, and she's not allowed to use the microwave unless someone gives her permission, because this is a huge problem. So from my experience, I mean, I'm not saying that maybe she should have been that big of an age gap. Like, that's a little confusing. That might have been out of desperation. But I can understand how they were thinking to themselves, no, she's definitely old. Because my daughter also has the ability to talk and discuss and think of things that are way above her age level in a way that other kids who are 3 times her age, 4 times her age, 5 times her age can't do. She is incredibly introspective. She just also has this big streak of, I don't care. So she's able to wrap her head around things. And honestly, that's one of the terrifying things, is that she is incredibly intelligent and capable of being very manipulative. And it's kind of terrifying when it comes out in a bad way. But I also wanted to talk on why they probably decided to do this way. I don't know. I don't know if they were, you know, being in poor faith, putting her in an apartment. However, I do not think that was probably the main focus. It might have been buried somewhere underneath. I don't know. But all I know is when you adopt a child and you end up saying, hey, this is terrible. They are threatening to kill me. They're destroying my house. They are ruining everything that I buy for them. They are screaming for 10 hours a day and they're just making life absolutely unbearable. They try to kill my pets. When you have this, which are all things that have happened at my house, all things that I have experienced firsthand, and you say, hey, I haven't done this part though, just to be clear, but if you go and say, hey, this is not a good fit, I cannot have this child in my house. In many states in the United States, you will be charged with abandonment, criminal abandonment of that child. And so a lot of parents, and you'll see this on various support pages, which is to me, understandably a difficult situation, they will be like, okay, then you'll just have to charge me with abandonment because it isn't safe for me. It isn't safe for my children. And this child is unparentable in my house. So I believe, what do I believe here? I believe both ways. I believe that there is a little piece of every child that is parentable. I think that you can teach even the most psychotic of children the basic understanding that there is a societal right and a societal wrong. But I also think that there are some children who are so hurt and who have like this natural distrust and dislike of certain people that that person is not the person to parent them. And I truly, personally, don't feel that it should be a criminal charge of neglect when that child is a danger to the family. Because when you are dealing with a child whom had these issues, and maybe they weren't shown before you adopted this child, but had these issues before you ever got this child, I truly think it is a disservice to anybody who wants to help children to remain in a situation where it is such a bad match. Because a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, you only had her for 2 years. And in a way, that's true. They only had her for 2 years. But you could also say, they had her for 2 years. These issues were problems from very shortly after they got her. And it was 2 years until they decided and got all of these things changed. There are some serious behaviors. And some indeed do come with very violent and very disruptive and very destructive behaviors from these kids. But probably my most difficult part in these interviews was that interview I was talking about where the dad, his name is Michael, has now divorced Christine, and he has now put himself in a place where he, and this is just from my angle, has convinced himself, because everyone has beaten him up about this, that this was all Christine, and Christine was a bad person, and Christine was awful, and Christine was all these things. And he's sitting next to Natalia. They're kind of maybe 6 to 8 feet apart. I can't really tell. And she's in one chair and he's in another, and he's crying. And he's asking for forgiveness. And he's saying he's sorry. And she is thrilled. And not in the kind of thrilled that you would expect somebody who has been abused and somebody is desperately to their core sorry, but in the thrilled that so many of us who have reactive attachment disorder children see, is when your child has broken you, when you finally fall in and you either yell or you cry or whatever it is, and they're so happy. And that is the look that she gives when she is sitting in the chair, in my opinion. And that is a look I have seen so many times. But I happen to have a daughter who is very verbose, and she would be like, oh, yay, oh, I win. And I was just like, oh my gosh, she's a psycho. And she'd be like, when I make you mad, it just makes me so happy. And I genuinely believe that that is the look I saw when I'm seeing this man who's broken, whose life is ruined because of this whole situation. And I'm not saying that this was the best way they could have gone about it at all. But I am saying, when I see her reaction to that, that was one of the times I had to turn off my screen and I had to walk away, because that is so incredibly hard for me as a parent to know that these children can destroy you and can destroy your reputation and your life and then be so happy about it. And for anybody who is looking into adoption, and who is especially looking into adoption for people who have been neglected and knowingly neglected, this is a huge consideration. You need to consider the fact that no matter what this kid says, the world is going to believe the kid before they are ever going to believe you. I was reading an article where a 9-year-old son murdered his father, and he used multiple instruments to do so. And the comments are filled with just what a horrible father this man must have been. Talks about just what a bad man he must have been to have raised a child like this. And as a mom of a child who hopefully will never get to that point, but who has had tendencies that suggest it's at least an option, that is horrifying. It's horrifying to realize that no one will ever pick your side. They will always pick your child's side before they pick you. Even if, and when I say this, I mean the larger percentage of people, but even if it's the most horrible action on the planet and the child has done this and there is no doubt about it, you're still going to be demonized. You're going to be criminalized. You're going to be all of these things because the world cannot understand that there really is a set of children who either naturally were born without any of these abilities to have empathy or regular emotions, and you end up having, or else they end up being put into that situation due to massive trauma that they've experienced in their lives. Nobody except those who have parented the children who have experienced this can understand. And I say that totally excluding the children in this, knowing that there are probably some really self-aware children who used to have reactive attachment disorder and who have developed. But what I've noticed in my own experience watching my own child is that she has no clue that the rest of the world, if they were observing everything that happened firsthand, would think that her behavior was wrong. Because she just lives her life in whatever she's feeling. And if it's murderous stuff, she is in that feeling. And if it's pure joy, she's in that feeling. And she doesn't realize that just because you have a feeling doesn't mean that you have to massively express this feeling. And so she thinks, no, I'm right because I had this feeling and you're wrong because you went against this feeling. And so even a lot of the kids who have reactive attachment disorder and who have grown up, I think, do not understand. I think the people who understand are the people who are fully mature and fully mentally developed when they get these kids and then watch this entire process unravel. So as someone who is just a mom and super unofficial in diagnoses, I would guess and find it very reasonable that Natalia would have reactive attachment disorder. And I wouldn't blame her if she had been in 30 families. But what's difficult for me, and I can't stop blaming the mental health field, is that no one else has brought this up. In all of my research, and even with Dr. Phil, though I did miss some parts of the interview because I couldn't watch it. So maybe he did bring this up. But they don't bring up the fact that it could be reactive attachment disorder it's not quite a diagnosis of the trauma disorder or anything. Now that she's older, does she have, the borderline personality disorder symptoms? Like all of these things, they don't bring it up. They don't question the fact that this girl who did go through something difficult, because not only had she been passed around to 30 families, but when she's 9 years old, they put her by herself because they can't stand to live with her. That has got to be a devastating thing to do to the human psyche. But to suggest that that wasn't part of a huger problem, to me, is a disservice from the mental health profession. I wish that mental health professionals could connect dots faster than they do and just realize that even though this was a horrible situation and that no 9-year-old should have to live in an apartment by themselves, that they should have been able to say, hey, here's what's happening. Here are the tiny little pieces of things that we can do about it. Anyway, that is my take on Natalia Grace. Take it or leave it. Know that it's just my opinion as a mom of a child with reactive attachment disorder. Thanks so much for joining me.